Great. Okay, if you'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16 in your Bibles. Just a reminder, orchestra practice is tonight at 4:15, or this afternoon at 4:15 here at the church, and then choir practice at 5 for all the for both the choirs, the youth choir and the adult choir. 2 Samuel chapter number 16, quickly in your Bible, and I'll give you a message this morning, hopefully be a help to you. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. So the man comes out, David's fleeing there, and he's going with his men. A man comes out, throws rocks at him, cursing at him, and so this is all happening. And then in verse number 9, one of his servants, one of David's men, Abishai, it says, then said Abishai to the son of Zariah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. I kind of like that guy personally. Now, that's my own commentary of it. He's just said, you know, this guy's cursing the king. If you just let me go, I'll take off his head. He won't bother you anymore. I'll be real quick. We'll be all done with this. We'll keep driving on. But verse number 10, I want you to see David's spirit. And David said, or the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone, let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. It may be the Lord will look on mine affliction, and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. The title of the message this morning is Battling Like a Veteran, Battling Like a Veteran. And I titled that because it is Veterans Day weekend, and I kind of wanted to give it that kind of title and talk to you a little bit about this soldier. David was a mighty man of battle. He'd been a mighty man of battle for a long time at this point. He was a mighty man. He was a warrior. He was the king of his army, but he had come up through the ranks of being a soldier in those ranks. And David was well acquainted with grief and with issues. And to me personally, when I look at the life of David, all except for the affair that he had, that time frame when there was some things that took place in his life that weren't good, all other than that, I think David had outstanding character. In fact, God calls him a man after God's own heart. I think there's something about him all the way through there. But you remember when he was young, he just started off serving his father and taking care of the sheep. And that's all he was doing. And then Samuel came and said, we're looking for the next king. And they go and they anoint him. And listen, as a young man, if he was anointed as king, I could see him getting kind of lifted up and saying, well, I'm the new king. Let's get the old guy out of the way and let me take over. But for years and years and years, that's not the spirit he had. He just served the current king, even though the current king was against him. The current king was jealous. The current king threw spears at him. The current king tried to set him up for failure. The current king said many, many bad things about him, told his family that David was a bad person, told others in the kingdom that David was a bad person. All these lies and all these slanders against David. You know what David did? David never visited back those same kind of accusations on Saul. In fact, what David did is he just behaved himself wisely. And if you watch the life of David, as all this is taking place, David was running for his life, trying to escape. And because David handled himself wisely, men drew to David. In the cave, men came and they started following David. And David amassed a huge army of people that became very loyal to David, because David didn't fight fire with fire. He didn't go and do the same thing Saul was doing. He just behaved himself as a man of character, a man of God, and men liked that, and men drew to that. And then over time, he kept showing himself to be a man of character, and men began to grow in loyalty towards him, even to the point that a man like Abishai would say, let me go take this man's head off. All he's doing is saying bad things against you. I don't like it because that's not the type of man you are. Let me go kill him. And he just behaved himself very wisely. Even though Saul was accusations against him, he didn't fight the accusations with accusations. He just kind of left it alone. Now watch, people begin to see David, even though he's being accused, begin to see David as a mighty man, as a man of character, a man of God. And people begin to see Saul for what he really was. He was a lunatic. He was crazy. And they begin to see him. And watch now, David handled himself wisely, and God took care of Saul for David. That's important that you get that. And that's a lesson I think David learned. And so now here it is many years later, David's son Absalom has risen up against him, and his son has some bitterness in his heart over some things that's happened in his life. And so he rises up against David, and he runs David out of the kingdom. He's going to take over. He's going to be the king. And that's what's happening in this situation here is Absalom, his son, has taken over to be the king. He's stolen the hearts of people. He's set in the gate while his dad was still the king and say, oh, if there was just a good king in the land that could really help you like me, well, I could really do something. And he stole the hearts of the people and had a conspiracy against his father. The father did not do anything about it while this was going on. In fact, when the son overthrew the kingdom, David just fled. David approached it the same way he did with Saul. He didn't fight accusation with accusation. He didn't fight it with force. He left. He just departed. And he said, if my son's going to take it, I'll let him take it. And this is where you find in the story we're at, he's fleeing from his son. He's letting him do what he's going to do. And he goes off and finds a place to hide out and refresh himself. And watch, he allows God to take care of the battle for him. And God sets everything right. And during that time, God overthrew the council that Absalom, his son, had. He overthrew Absalom as the king. He overthrew every bit of it. And Absalom ends up hanging by a tree by his hair and ends up dying on the battlefield. And then David comes right back in. And watch, David did not have to fight his own battle. God fought the battle for him, and David just behaved himself wisely, even though people were saying bad things about him, even though people are trying to hurt him. All the way through it, I think David had learned a lesson, and it's a lesson that we need to learn as well, is to let God fight our battles for us. And so I wrote this down. This battle-tested veteran learned a valuable battle tactic. Let God do your fighting, and it's something we need to do as well. We need to battle our conflicts like a veteran. Shimei is here, the first person you see in this story. Shimei is here, he's cursing, he's casting stones, he's throwing painful words. You know, somebody says, sticks and stones break my bones, but names can never hurt me. These were painful things that he was saying to David anyway. Now, these were painful words, but on top of that, he was also throwing stones. He was doing all those things there. Now, the easy thing to do would have been for David to pick up at least one of those stones, throw them back. How many of you say that's about the way I normally handle stuff? Somebody throws a rock at me, I find a bigger rock and throw it back at them. Somebody throws a curse at me, I find a bigger curse and throw it back at them. And that's the way this thing goes back and forth. That's the way we normally handle things, and that's the way most people would have handled that day. So most of you would have said this when they threw the first stone and it hit him in the side of the head. He would have looked at Abishai. Abishai wouldn't have had to say anything. He would have said, hey, can you go take care of this guy for me? And Abishai would have said, I'm already on it, boss. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. That's the way that thing would have went. That's the way most of us would have responded to this, but he didn't. And so here's Shimei, and Shimei is saying some things that are really disturbing. He's telling him, you know, you're a bloody man. You took the kingdom from Saul. You robbed the kingdom from Saul. You killed Saul and all those people. When actually that was not true at all. These were all lies. They were all slanders. These were not true statements. David served Saul. David fought for Saul. David did everything Saul asked him to do. David had opportunities to kill Saul, and Abishai again said, can you let me kill him? I'll kill him. I'll stab him, and I won't have to do it a second time. I can take care of him pretty quick. That's why I'm saying I like Abishai. That's like a side message here. I kind of like this guy. He's kind of aggressive like that. And these weren't your normal, these weren't like sissy soldiers. These guys were hardcore. I mean, these guys were some tough battling machines out there. And so that's what you see. And so David wasn't trying to hurt Saul. David was actually trying to increase the kingdom for Saul. David was doing things the correct way. David never tried to retaliate against anything Saul did. In fact, David said one time, hey, look, Saul will die in battle or God will take care of him, but I'm not going to raise my hand against God's anointed. I'm just not going to do it. So these were all lies. And then you see in verse number 9, Abishai offering to take care of it. But I just want to focus in on about three verses this morning, verse 10, 11, and 12, and maybe 13, and show you some ways, some things that we can find in the character of David of how he handled a conflict and how we can handle conflicts like this veteran that handled conflicts. There's some things we need to learn from this man. The first thing is in verse number 10, watch what he says. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? Watch what he says. So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? The first thing I want you to get, if you're making notes or writing anything down, the first thing I want you to understand is you need to consider the source of where the conflict is coming from. Now, this could be anything you're dealing with, accusations, conflict, issues, whatever it might be that's coming against you that you feel like you're being pushed against or hurt in some way, shape, or form. The first thing you need to do when you find yourself in that situation is, number one, consider the source of the conflict. Now, when I say consider the source, I got about three different things I want to say about that. Number one, consider Shimei. You know, when you have a fight with somebody, I say this to people all the time. When you have a fight or an argument or a situation with somebody, doesn't matter who it is, what you need to realize a lot of times is there's more behind that accusation or that fight than what meets the eye. There's more behind it. And so when you look at Shimei and you really study this situation out, Shimei was of the household of Saul. Shimei was probably in kind of the royal family. Shimei had a great position. Shimei was probably in the castle or in the kingdom. He had probably had a lot that it was his. He had servants or maybe things like that. And a lot of that was taken away from him, and people can become very bitter over time when things get taken away from them. And so he's dealing with a man that's probably very, very bitter. On top of that, I want you to think about something else. Saul had spent years poisoning the minds of people against David and saying he was a bad person. He had done bad things. He was a bad man. He's out to steal the kingdom. He's a bloody man, all those things. So now Shimei, all he knows is what he's been told about David. Can I say something to you? Sometimes when you have conflict with somebody, if you'll stop and think about it, there may be something behind that. It may not be that that person's a bad person that's coming against you. That person may be a product of what they've been taught, what they've been told, and it's good for us to handle the situation wisely, because there may be something behind what's going on with them. You always need to consider that. I've said this before, but it's worth saying again. Hurting people end up hurting people. Meaning this, when a person's hurting and they've got problems in their life, they end up becoming very bitter and they lash out at other people. And sometimes what you've got to think about when someone's coming against you and saying something bad to you, you might need to stop and think, you know what, that person may be hurting. This may be an opportunity for me to show kindness to them instead of showing more hurt towards them. So sometimes we got to consider the source that way. Let me give you another way to consider the source. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I say something else? Sometimes when you are having a conflict with somebody, you're not really having a conflict with that person. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. There's really principalities and powers behind a lot of the conflicts that we're dealing with. I told you that when I preached through the thing in Luke 22, that while Jesus was dealing with all the conflicts that happened that day, really it was Satan behind every bit of that. When Judas had a problem with him, it wasn't really Judas, it was Satan behind Judas that was causing a problem. A lot of times, if you'll stop and think about it, and you can see the bigger picture here, and you start looking at the source, it may not be that you got a problem with so-and-so. It may be that the devil is stirring something up to cause a bigger problem than what you can even see. That's what the devil will do. But in the context of what happened here, it wasn't that he focused on Shimei, and it wasn't that he focused on maybe the source being Satan. What David says is, the source behind this conflict that I'm having right now is God. That's what he says. He says, God is behind this. And let me make a couple of suggestions to you about that. When you find yourself in conflict, you find yourself dealing with something, it may be from God. It may be from God that God has put this thing together for a reason, to show you something through this situation. Because while all these things, watch now, while all these things were untrue, while everything he was saying, you're a bloody man, you've done this and you've done that, while he said all those things and they were untrue, you know what? For David, David could see the truth in them. Let me tell you what David could see. While he's saying, you're a bloody man, you've fought, you've done all these things, David, those things were not true about David. But what David said was, you know what? I am a bloody man. I killed Uriah the Hittite. I took his wife. I conspired for him to die. I did all those things, and yes, I have been a bloody man. And maybe this situation, really, what it is that you're going through is God's way of showing you something about you at a deeper level, and maybe a way of humbling you. It may be a way of humbling you. If you'll stop and think about it, it could be exactly what it is. I read you this verse. I preached on this verse in Ecclesiastes 7, but I want to read it to you again. I want you to think about something. In Ecclesiastes 7:21, it says, also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. That's exactly what he's hearing. But it says this, for oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others. You know, sometimes when you're going through a conflict and somebody's making an accusation or saying something against you or being hurtful towards you, if you'll stop and think, you know what you might come up with? You know, I deserve worse than what they're even doing to me right now. I heard one, that's about the only thing I heard. But the truth of the matter is, can I tell you this honestly? It doesn't matter what anybody does to us, we deserve a whole lot worse than that. And sometimes whenever we go through a situation like this, we get riled up and we want to grab a rock and throw it back at them. But if you'll stop and think, you know what? I deserve a whole lot worse than someone throwing a rock at me or throwing a curse or an accusation at me. I deserve a lot worse. This person said this bad thing. Watch now. This person's saying this bad thing about me. I'm pretty upset about it. But if you'll stop and think about it, just like Ecclesiastes 7:21 says, you know what you might come up with? You know what? I've said worse about other people than what they're saying about me. Isn't that hypocritical for us to get mad about something that we've done the same thing ourselves? And so we've got to think like this. I thought about this, a letter that George Whitefield got that was kind of an accusation. It was a hard letter. And this is the response he gave to the man. I thought it was pretty good. I thank you heartily for your letter. As for what you and my other enemies are saying against me, I know worse things about myself than you will ever say about me. You know what? That's a humble way to approach any type of conflict. They're saying bad things about me. Grab a rock. Let's get them. Or it may be that we say, you know what? I know that whatever they say about me, I'm worse than even that. And I'm just going to keep on walking and not allow this to stop me or bother me. That's the way the veteran handled it. That's the way the veteran handled it that day. The first thing is in verse number 10. The second thing I want you to see, look at verse number 11. And David said to Abishai and to all the servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. The first thing is consider the source, but the second thing is this. Understand that there is something bigger at stake here. There's something bigger than just this little conflict that you're having. There's something much bigger. Somebody says, well, somebody cut me off on the road. I was really mad. I chased them down. I got out and I fought with them, and or whatever the case may be. And some of you right now are thinking, how did he know about that? Whatever the case may be that you have an issue with, can I tell you, whatever that little conflict, whatever that little cursing, whatever that little rock that's being thrown, there's a bigger picture that you're missing. You get absorbed in this one little thing. And how many of you people can say this, that sometimes when it rains, it pours? How many can say, amen, I know exactly what you're talking about with that. You don't have to explain it, I know. Well, that day, what took place in 2 Samuel chapter 16, many things. I'm just highlighting one, but many things. The first thing is, David has been pretty good to Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth. And he's went and got him, he's restored him, he's put in the kingdom, he's eating at David's table, he's being really good to him. And so David's running for his life. And Mephibosheth's servant, Ziba, shows up and has the donkeys and the fruit and all that stuff to feed them. And David says, well, where's Mephibosheth? This man that I've shown such love and care for, where is he at? And Ziba lies, I believe lies, and Ziba says, you know what? He said today he's getting the kingdom restored back to him, and he's not for you, he's against you. And Ziba lied. Now watch, already when David's taken off, already his son Absalom has overthrown him. Now, the first thing he runs into is someone he showed great love. That person's nowhere to be found. That person has left him and abandoned him. The person that should be on his side because of the great love he's shown him, that man has left him. If you keep reading through 2 Samuel 16, David's right-hand man, Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, is now the counselor for Absalom. Absalom. And he's telling Absalom, listen, let's go kill your dad immediately. Let's get all your dad's wives and put them on the top of the roof. And you go in and sleep with all of his wives. He's giving him terrible, bad counsel to try to really hurt David. So David's having all these things happen to him in the same day. And while he's going, here comes a man on the side of a hill throwing lies and accusations and throwing rocks. That, to me, that's like saying, I had this go wrong, that go wrong, the bank just called and said all my money's gone, and while I'm on my way to figure it all out, I have a flat tire. You say, man, when it rains, it pours. But you know what? There's something bigger at stake here than just that little problem that you're facing, and that's what David says. David says, I'm not going to focus on this little man throwing rocks when there's something much bigger. The whole kingdom is at stake here. There's something much bigger. And he kind of put his focus on the correct things. Let me say to you, to make application, you know what? When you have some little conflict with somebody, can I tell you there's a bigger picture at stake here? There's more at stake. You say, what's at stake? Your testimony is at stake. Whenever we start fighting things that someone does against us, our testimony becomes at stake sometimes. Sometimes we lose ground on our testimony. But let me tell you worse than that. Brother Fisher really hit on this when he talked about covenants on the Friday night, the last night he was here. He talked about how our children hear the things that are going on and how we deal with things. They learn how to deal with things the same way. I thought that was very interesting when he said that. I've never been in one of those houses, like he was saying, that have the vents where you can be upstairs and you can hear what mom and dad are saying downstairs. But he said that they used to, when they thought they were getting in trouble, they would go and they would lay on those vents and listen to what was going downstairs. And the idea he was trying to show you is that your kids are listening. Your kids are listening. I remember hearing the story one time about the lady that was riding in her car, her and her husband, and the kids were in the back seat, and they forgot the kids were in the back seat, and they were left church, and they were going home, and they're like, Sister so-and-so is just a loud mouth, and she says this, she says that, and we don't really even like her, I don't know what she's doing here, and blah, 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 blah. Forgot the kids were back there the whole time, and then that evening when they got to church, they walked up, Sister so-and-so walked up to shake the kids' hands, and the little kid says, we don't like you, you're a loud mouth, Mom and Dad said so. We don't think about the fact that they're listening to everything. Can I tell you, watch now, when you get into a conflict, what you have to remember is there's something bigger at stake here. And if David would have done? Watch now. If David would have said, you know what, I am going to go fight this guy, David could have gotten distracted, lost focus of what the real issue was that day, and could have gotten involved in a conflict. And you know what the rumor would have been around? The rumor would have been around just like this. It's the way it always works. You ever see in a football game the first guy that pushes somebody? He never gets caught. It's the guy that retaliates that gets caught. That always happens. The same thing would have happened here. No one would have reported that Shimei threw rocks. All they would have reported is on the way out, David started killing people. And David would have proven to them that he's exactly what they said he was. So what I'm saying is, you just keep doing what's right, and people will see that you do what's right, and you'll get a better testimony. So the first thing was consider the source. The second thing is understand there's something bigger at stake here. And the third thing, very simply, verse number 12, he said, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. The third thing is this, it may be that God will bless you because instead of you fighting evil with evil, you're taking the evil. It may be that God would bless you because you've humbled yourself and submitted yourself and you've just allowed that person to do this. Because watch, God fights for his people. Now, as a few of you said amen, because I don't know if all of you believe it, but that is the way the Bible talks. God fights for his people. Let me say this. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. In James 4 and in 1 Peter chapter 5 says the same thing. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee with you. You're going to have conflicts. What you've got to do is submit yourself to God and allow God to take care of the conflicts for you. And God will take care of it. That's what he said he would do. That's his promise. Can I say something else you need to get a hold of? It's wrong to rejoice over your enemy when your enemy falls. Now, what we have a tendency to do, I know I've seen these videos before. Sometimes on Facebook, you see the guy that is pulling up next to somebody and slams on the brakes and goes around them and is cussing them out and saying all these things. And then they speed off to go around them. When they did, they lose traction and they end up in a ditch and they drive by and people are laughing at them. And you know what? To be honest with you, that's the way most of us would do it. We'd laugh at them and be like, yep, that's what you get. That's what you deserve. You know, the Bible says you shouldn't do that. It's very interesting. It's found in a verse, and I'll read it to you, in Proverbs 24. You know this verse, 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And we would all say, yes, that's the way it works. When we fall, we get up again, but the wicked are going to fall in their mischief. But the next verse, 17, says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. Watch, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. You know what? We should not be rejoicing when we see somebody else getting what comes to them. And so what Shimei was doing was violating Scripture by saying, I feel like this is my enemy, and I'm justified in throwing rocks. I'm justified in being glad that he's getting what he deserves. God says, I'm not pleased with that type of behavior. And David's saying, I'm not going to do the same thing he's doing, and God will be on my side. And that's the way we should approach things. Can I tell you something? You can look with me at Romans chapter 12 if you want to. If you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read a few verses. I'm going to try to read them very quickly to you. But in Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us some things. I preached on it just the other day because I was preaching about our duty, what it is our duty to be. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 17, the Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. You see that? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Allow them to come against you. That's what it's saying. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, now watch, on the other side of this, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. If he, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't fight evil with evil. God will take care of the situation. Can I tell you something? David had the authority, and he had the ability to take that man's head off that day. But watch now. Just because you have the ability to do something does not mean you should do something. Because it's better to leave it to God's hands and let God take care of it. Because God has a better way of dealing with it. And I want you to see the last thing in verse number 13. It says, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill. And it just says they just kept going. They just kept right on walking and just left it in God's hands. And as they went, he kept throwing rocks and they just kept walking. And he'd go a little further, he's throwing more rocks and they just kept walking. And so the last point that I see that the veteran did is we need to just keep walking while they throw. Just keep walking while they throw. The fact is, the foolish will eventually fall themselves. Here's what's interesting. In Psalm, you don't have to turn there again, in Psalm chapter 7, this psalm is written and it says it's a psalm of David concerning the words of Cush, the Benjaminite, but you can say, well, it's somebody else, but the situation that takes place in the psalm leads most to believe that that's another name for Shimei. Cush, another name for Shimei. And so in this situation, it seems like he's talking about what took place that day with Shimei, and it's found in a section of psalms that are about that day, about that situation. And so what we see there in Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 9, I want you to see what he says, or listen at least what he says. David wrote this. So what this means is, while David's dealing with this situation, David leaves, and he ends up somewhere, and he writes the song. He writes a song and publishes that song. And the song is his thoughts about that day. And here's what his thoughts were that day. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Watch what he says in verse 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Watch verse 12. If he turn not, means if this guy doesn't repent and stop what he's doing, he will whet his sword, he hath bent his bow, and made it ready. I want you to get it. Watch this now. Because what you're thinking in your mind, same thing a lot of people think, is this. Well, I agree. Yes, I should let God take care of it. But you're thinking, when's God going to take care of it? Because I've left this in God's hands. God's not taking care of it. When's God going to take care of it? You know what's interesting? In verse number 12, he says this, if he turn not, he'll whet his sword. And what he also says, he said he hath bent his bow, which means this. He's already got his bow ready. He got the arrow in it. And he's ready to shoot this person that's causing you this harm. He's already ready. You say, well, what is he waiting on? You know what he's waiting on? It's the long-suffering and the mercy of God. Amen. The same thing that you beg for when you mess up is the same thing God's giving to this person that's afflicting you. He's taking a little bit of time. God's giving a little measure of grace for this person to repent and get this thing right before God says, all right, enough time, I let it go. And I will take them out. But watch now, but whose job is it to take them out? God's job to take them out. You say, but it's taking too long. That's the mercy and the long-suffering of the Lord. But if the guy doesn't repent, the person doesn't change their way, God will take care of it. In verse number 14, it says, behold, he travaileth with iniquity. This is that bad person again. And hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit. I read this to you last Wednesday. He made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. You know how the Lord sometimes will deal with people? The same thing that they're firing against you, they end up falling prey to it themselves. And God sometimes will allow him to do just that. Verse 16, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. You know, he said, God will turn whatever this is around on that person. But you're all asking the same question, but when? When's God going to visit this on this person? I can't answer that. I can tell you this, according to the Word of God, his bow is already drawn. His sword is already wet and sharpened. And he's ready to take vengeance for you on your behalf. So what do? You don't take it. You let God take it. Because God has the perfect timing. And God knows when it's time to let the sword go and let the arrow go. Our job is to let him do what he's doing. What's interesting is, and I don't have time to really go there, but in 2 Samuel chapter 19, the rest of the story is this. Absalom does fall. The accusations that Absalom did, Absalom ended up falling himself. And when David comes back in the land, guess who's the first person to meet David on his knees, thanking David for coming back in the land? Shimei. And you know what? That's where you'd be too. And he says, oh, David, I'm so glad you're back in the land. Could you just forget about all those bad things I was saying about you before? Those are bad things, and I didn't mean to say them. Just had a bad day, and I'm sorry. And David, you know what David does, though? David says, you're forgiven. Amazing. David says, you're forgiven. You say, well, what's the rest of the story? When David goes off the scene, he tells his son, Solomon, he says, you better watch out for Shimei. That guy's a mischievous man. And what Solomon and them decide to do, and they tell him, you got to go to a city. You got to stay in that city. You can do whatever you want, be as prosperous as you want, live in that city. Just never leave the city. And eventually Shimei leaves the city and goes out looking for some of his servants that fled from him. And when Solomon finds out, Solomon says, God has now visited your mischief back on your own head, and he dies. You see, it took a long time, though. But God knew the end from the beginning. God knows the timing. God knows the exact right timing. And listen now, you say, I don't know when God's going to take care of the situation for me. God will take care of it if the person doesn't repent and get it right. God will take care of it in his timing. So the way we need to approach things is we need to approach it with that same kind of spirit. Can I tell you the best example of this is the Lord Jesus Christ? I read it to you last week, but in 1 Peter chapter number 2, when you start looking at Jesus, it says that whenever someone reviled him, what did he do? He did not revile back to them. When he suffered and they threatened him, he did not threaten back. What did it say that he did? In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 21 and 22, what did it say he did? It said he did this. He said he left it in the hands of the righteous judge, God. He says, I'll leave it in God's hands and God will take care of it. I tell you, and he says this in like verse number 19, that's the example for us. Now, let me tell you, this is something that's easy to preach and harder to live. How many can say amen to that? Amen. It is. Because I'm just as much man as all of you, probably more than I'm just as much man as all of you. But here's the thing: it's interesting. I'll drive to this funeral today, and I'll be trying to get there quick. Somebody will get in front of me and slam on the brakes or slow down or something. And just like you, something will rise up in me about what an idiot on the road. All those things will happen just like it happens with me. And what the devil will do, I mean, the Lord will do is he'll say, hey, big boy, remember the sermon you preached about 5 minutes ago? See, this is easy to say. It's more difficult to actually do. But you know what? Every one of us need to take this to heart, because what I just gave you today was not stretching anything at all. That's exactly what you find in the text. And what you find in the text is that God wants you to allow him to take care of your battles instead of us trying to fight every battle. We'll have to consider the source behind it. Maybe God's doing something here that we don't see. Maybe there's a bigger picture that we're not catching up on. Maybe it's our testimony. Maybe it's our children. You know, if I do something foolish in this community and I'm just fighting this fight that I see right here and I don't think about it, I might ruin my testimony in this community and then ruin this church. There's a bigger picture than what we're seeing sometimes. There's more at stake than just this little argument that you're having with this person. And then this last thing that I just told you, God sometimes will honor those people that will just humble themselves and let God do it. God will give you extra grace, and God will bless you if you leave it in his hands. And then you just keep on walking. You said, but they're still throwing. You just keep on walking. God will take care of it in his time. Let's stand on our feet. If you're not saved today, what you need to do is you need to put your faith and trust in the one that took all the blame that was coming to you. He allowed it to be on him. And he took all your sin so he can give you all his righteousness. So if you're not saved today, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. You need to receive what he did on the cross to pay for your sins. You need to do that this morning. Lord God, Father, we love you. We thank you for the scripture, the things that we've seen in it. Father, I pray that you'd please bless in this invitation time in the hearts of these people. If there's somebody that's lost, I pray you'd help them get saved. But for the rest of us, I pray you'd help us to learn this principle from your word. It's, Lord, this is something in the flesh. This is hard to do. This is difficult to do. Lord, I don't know how many times I've failed this. Over and over and over again, I have failed this. But I think it's a principle that David learned. And I think it's a principle you didn't have to even put this little section of scripture in your word. But you did it for some reason. And in it, we can see some things that David did. And I pray you'd help us, Father, to hear this message this morning, apply it to our lives, and start to do something with it. Father, help us. We love you. We thank you. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What page number?